We Got the Geek is recorded before a live studio audience.
TronByJohn.com presents We Got the Geek's comic panel.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Jay Stu, and gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great studio of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled. Sitting here at the round table tonight, we have a man who can save a basement from flooding, but can't prevent breaking his toe while looking for his glasses, Mr. John Ballmer.
Nice.
Hi, John.
Nice.
We also have a man who not only this week conquered an evil nest of baby spiders while celebrating the DVD release of The Hobbit.
Yes.
He's also our Jimmy Olsen. It's Hunter. Hi, sir.
Yay, Hunter.
Thank you.
And we also have the bearded one, the man who has read every comic book in the history of comic books. Your next Robin, Mr. Don Fraser.
Yeah, thank you very much. Homeless Superman, I also accept.
Homeless Superman, yes. And, of course, the lovely Case, too.
I'm not supposed to be here today.
True.
Oh, you're Dante.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the greatest comic book roundtable ever assembled, except Ryan is ill. He was supposed to be here as well. So, get well, Ryan.
Yeah, hurry up and get well. We need to do another comic book segment.
Yeah.
He's in his own, like, spin-off title this week.
Yeah. He's abandoned us.
So we got reviews, we got some comic book news, a top 10 for you as well.
Ah, I love the top 10.
I'm going to start off with some comic book news. I want to get everyone's opinion on this because it's ridiculous. does anyone here like Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Now or then?
Anytime.
Yes, I liked his early action movies. Now I think he's too busy trying to become an actor, which he's not.
All right.
Although he was awesome in Expendables 2.
Well, it seems that this week he was interviewed and he announced he wants to either play the Silver Surfer or be in Avengers 2. Thoughts, go.
No.
I didn't know the Silver Surfer did splits.
Or was Belgian.
No.
Belgian Iron Fist.
I was actually just going to say, what about making him Iron Fist?
Right.
Now, Ray Park,
Iron Fist,
man.
Like 50.
Okay, Ray Park would be awesome as Iron Fist if they ever decide to get that movie off the ground, because they've been working on that since, what, 2001?
Yep. Something like that.
So we're not going to see it.
Brussels from Brussels in space!
In space.
He has no place in Avengers.
Okay.
There's no way. In my opinion, he has no place in Avengers.
There's got to be some kind of foreign villain he can play, right?
He does a good villain. He does. He was... I hated him in Expendables 2 because of the way he did that character. It was really good.
I'll admit, he wasn't bad in that.
Yeah. I don't... What was it? He said Avengers or what else?
Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer?
Yeah.
Is he high?
Yeah, no mas.
Oh, no, he just drinks. That's right. No. You know, we've already seen the Silver Surfer. You know what? A standard's been set, and that was awesome. The script of that movie, did it suck? Yeah. But was the Surfer good?
Yeah, right.
He's okay. Did a couple, like, weird scenes with his board.
Wouldn't you? Come on. Like, that was good. No, it's... I already have the image of the Surfer from comics and from that movie. He has no place in there.
Can we have the Silver Surfer from that Fantastic Four movie to show up in the next Avengers and just give, like, a double take at Steve Rogers? Like, wait.
Weren't you on fire last time?
I don't...
Something's wrong here. Set Steve Rogers on fire? Much better. All right, going back to things.
I don't think Van Damme should even play the Surfer's surfboard.
No. Agreed. He's got no place in those movies. You know, if they did another Blade movie, he could be a villain in that. Like, you could see him being, like, a vampire villain against...
I guess.
Snipes. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I love the Blade movies, even though they kind of got kind of crappy towards that last one. But I would like to see those come back. That darker side of Marvel movies would be cool. And I think then he would have a place in a movie like this. But Avengers or Silver Surfer? No.
All right. So Van Damme, get off the crack, is what we're all agreeing on.
Yeah.
Okay, then who do you cast as, like, say they come down and go, all right, we want to have, like, all of the Heralds of Galactus show up.
Oh.
Who do you cast as, like, the Heralds of Galactus then?
That's a good question, actually. I've never even thought of that.
Can we reunite the cast of the Dukes of Hazzard and have them do it?
I would pay to see that.
No, because unfortunately, due to studio mandate, you need the cast of the Dukes of Hazzard remake from a couple years ago.
I want Tom Wopat as Terrax.
Kickstarter.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't answer that one, man. I don't know who to pick. I don't even know who would make a good new surfer for getting the surfer back on screen.
Keanu Reeves, reprising his character's role from Point Break.
From every movie he's ever made.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I wish you to go prepare Earth for my arrival.
Whoa. Yeah, do we really want the surfer just flying into the scene in the middle of an action sequence and just go, whoa. And then turn around and fly back away?
No, space kung fu.
No, just have him come back and start doing his bit from Bill and Ted. That's what we need. Surfer doing.
Have him recite Every Rose Has a Thorn.
Or just playing air guitar. Silver Surfer swinging around doing the air guitar. Wild Stallions!
You want John Hamm to be everything.
Can you John Hamm?
Norman Reedus.
Then you can change the surfboard into like a slight like guitar, like silver guitar that he flies.
The silver guitarist. There we go.
You have John Hamm as a Silver Surfer and Norman Reedus as the surfboard.
Or like a homeless Keanu Reeves, the silver couch surfer. Like.
I can just imagine a patchy beard on a silver surfer.
Well, they're like, Silver Surfer's like, hey guys. Can I crash on your planet for a couple weeks? Like, my dad, he's, like, eating a planet in another galaxy. He says he'll be here to pick me up later, but I just need a place to stay.
Just gonna be the dude from the Big Lebowski?
The Surfer Abides.
Okay, there you go. The Jeff Bridges as the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
No, he's in Tron.
Make it happen.
The surfboard really brought the room together.
Terry O'Quinn from Lost, he's already got the bald head.
Yeah, true.
Sure.
60-year-old Silver Surfer. Some cruising through.
Paint John Locke silver and, yeah.
There you go.
Well, the surfer's at least 40.
There you go. John Hamm.
John Hamm.
Why don't you say Anne Hathaway and get it over with?
Oh.
Female Silver Surfer.
Oh, she played the gold one.
There has been female stars.
Oh, Nova.
Nova, yeah.
Or Plasma,
not that
too.
Nova, a different Nova.
Plasma, too.
Nova.
If you want to see her in purple, I guess.
Like, bringing that up is good. I would love to see Nova on screen.
I want to see Terrax. I want to see them do a good Terrax.
Who could be a good Terrax? I'm trying to think of a big muscle guy with the island grass around it hairstyle.
Well, you need, like, the, like, big beard, the too. Big beard, like, too. You need somebody that, like... On the other hand, like, if you find somebody to play Terrax, you also have somebody to play, like, crazy future Superman from, oh, God, help me out with the title. The one where he's, like, teleported to the future. I'm a man! Fights, like, the robot. The
great clues.
That was like the best soundbite ever. That's going to be played in every episode from now on. I'm a man.
God, I'm going to have to.
That just made me think of the Muppets.
I just equated to somebody who plays Terrax can also play the Maestro, the future Hulk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm.
Exactly the same. The big beard.
From Seinfeld?
No, not that Maestro.
Maestro. He's not wearing pants.
So are we still in agreement that no Van Damme?
No Van Damme.
Okay.
Not even a Steven Seagal.
Back to the topic.
No.
Steven
Wait a minute,
Seagal.
There was a topic there?
There was a topic on that one.
Piece of me, Hulk? Okay. That was bad. All right, so speaking of acting, Mark Millar and...
Superman at Earth's End.
Sorry. Oh, Earth's End, yeah. Yes.
Yes. Where he had, like, the crazy, like, big, bushy white beard yeah. and... grabs, like, the giant 50 gun that was, like, glued together.
Can I ask you a question, Hunter? How did you just search for that? Did you search Superman? I'm a man.
I actually searched for the words, I am a man, exclamation mark, punch. Because okay. That's what happens in the comic. Is
wow.
The Google exact is panel good. Is like, I'm not a robot, I'm a man! And he punches, like...
I now have new respect for the quality of Google.
Right? Right?
Wow.
Was this on Google or Bing?
This was Google.
No.
Only Spider-Man uses Bing.
If it was Bing, it would have been porn.
Oh.
Alrighty then. So speaking of acting, Mark Millar and John Romita Jr. will cameo in Kick-Ass 2. John Romita will be part of the Mother Effers gang, and Millar will be a member of Justice Forever.
Okay, nice. I got a question relating to Kick-Ass 1.
Sure.
At the comic shop, I don't know if this is confirmed or not, or if I'm even right, but at the comic shop, the guy working behind the counter in the background of half the scenes when they're in that shop having their coffee and reading comics, the guy behind the counter looks just like John Romita Jr. Is that not him?
I'm not sure.
Did he not cameo in that and was there? I have no idea. But if you look at that scene, and you know what John Romita Jr. looks like, it looks just like him. So I'm convinced it's him, but I'm probably wrong.
Could be.
Somebody needs to find that out.
Oh my God, there's Hunter with his picture of Iron Man.
Punch.
Punch.
Wow.
There you go, Kyle.
I'm a man. It's actually not punch, it's slump.
Slump.
Oh man, that totally looks like flunch. Like T-H-L-U-N-N-S-H.
That punch has a lisp.
Yeah. Punch
speech
has a
lisp.
Yeah. Speech pimentament.
Pimento.
Wow. This one might make Balmer a little excited. I don't know. Were you a fan of the 1960s Batman show?
Yes.
Did you know that the 1960s Batman series is going to be getting the comic book treatment? There's a new series coming out this summer from DC Comics. Jeff Parker is writing, and it's going to have rotating artists, starting with a guy named Jonathan Case. And they even draw the Joker's mustache in the artwork.
Well, see, it's in Begora, Commissioner!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Diana's excited about that.
How long are they planning this to run for?
I don't know. It's an ongoing, though.
2 years, so then they're going to add Batgirl, and then it's only going to last another couple of issues.
No, they'll probably plan for 12. They'll make it 5, and it'll start to hit a slump. And then they'll revamp everything, or start over again. I don't know. I think we can expect the first 4 or 5 issues of something like that to be fun.
Yeah.
But then they'll probably run out of stories.
Now,
there was a lot of villains in that show though that have never shown up since then. Like,
yeah, Egghead.
I mean, Vincent Price is dead. How else are you going to bring him back?
Well, just like they do everything else, get a different actor.
No,
that's a comic book though.
You just draw Vincent Price.
Like I said, I will give it 5 issues. If it goes beyond that, we'll talk about it then.
All right.
But right now, my prediction is it's going to successfully run for 5 issues, maybe 6, before they consider dropping it.
You already lost a coffee on a bet like this. You know that, right?
I can afford to lose a coffee occasionally. Coffees are cheap, sir.
All right.
Especially when they're free.
Indeed.
World of wins.
All right, before we hit our first break, here's something else I wanted to mention that I thought was kind of remarkable. So, fan of Neil Gaiman, anyone here? I know Kath might be.
Mm-hmm.
He's returning to Marvel Comics to help write the final issue of Age of Ultron with Brian Michael Bendis, and he's going to work on some Guardians of the Galaxy issues as well. He's actually bringing in his creation, Angela the Angel, from the Image series Spawn.
Wow. Really? I've got an action figure of that character.
He actually... won a legal case against Todd McFarlane years ago that gave him the rights to the character. So now he's bringing the Image character over to Marvel with him.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. The founders of Image leave Marvel, create a new world. Somebody takes a character back over to Marvel.
Yeah. So does that mean that the Image universe is just like a sub-parallel universe of the Marvel?
It's like Earth 2 in the Marvel
world. There you go.
Wildstorm DC.
Yeah, well, I miss Wildstorm because they had some awesome titles.
They've had a couple Wildstorm Marvel crossovers. The end of the Heroes Reborn thing is a 4-part crossover, which was called World War III, which was like a mashup of like Wildstorm's universe and like the Avengers and Fantastic Four in that.
Yep.
They had Badrock and Spider-Man teamed up to fight like Venom and one of the like one crossover. So sorry, a bunch of precedent.
Cool. So let's take a quick break. we'll run one of our favorite ads, and we'll be right back after this with the gang.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Face front, true believers. John Bulmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3x5 inches to 11x17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Bulmer.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Nice. We're having a good time. We're laughing about comics. Bulmer's doing the rounds with the video camera. Hi, Bulmer.
Hi, Buckner.
Bill John Buckner. The dog is here.
Good. Good. Good.
Hunter has turned to the ways of the Sith.
Starlight's even here.
It's all a good party.
It's all good. It's a party.
I like it.
Oh, I can put the cat on my lap and mix like Blofeld and Palpatine.
It's not Blofeld, it's Blofeld.
Blofeld.
Oh, jeez.
He's watching a different movie with a guy with a cat.
There's also beignets.
I'm gonna recaption every single one of those movies and had an eye.
Beignets sortés.
Making dope ass beignets.
All right. I'm going to bring up a subject that Kath might have something to say about. Ryan Reynolds.
Is starring as Anne Hathaway in the Anne Hathaway story.
Can we get Ryan Reynolds, Anne Hathaway, and John Hamm all in the same movie? Go.
Princess Diaries 3.
It was the best movie ever made.
She's Mormon.
I watch an Anne Hathaway sandwich.
The Sister Princess Diaries?
This show's gone way off course.
It's like reverse Mormon, though.
Wait a minute, isn't this a comic book panel?
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds.
And Hathaway.
Ryan Reynolds is drawing his own comic.
Well, he was getting interviewed this week, and someone asked him about the Deadpool movie that's been in development. He said Fox was reluctant to make the movie because the producers and writers won't make it unless it's rated R. And he's read the script. I guess Deadpool is aware that he's a movie and comic book character in it. And there's actually a part of it where he addresses Deadpool's appearance in Wolverine X-Men Origins and makes fun of it. Apparently Deadpool was not happy with that appearance. And, I mean, the way they've written it, they can't do it under a rated R rating.
Really? Like more NC-17 style?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
They should do two cuts then.
Yeah, I guess they could always do an unrated one for the DVD.
Cut. Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time Ryan Reynolds was in like an unrated.
Ah, true.
National Lampoon's Van Wilder.
Yeah, true, yeah. Right?
That was a great movie.
I love that movie. He also said that he would love to play Deadpool in a cameo in X-Men, the new X-Men movie.
Why Days, am I of Future
Days of Future Past.
There you go.
Two.
Yes. And in news that'll make Hunter happy. Reynolds also stated that he has no interest in playing Green Lantern in a Justice League film.
Good. No, he has an interest in playing Green Lantern again.
So now Bradley Cooper can move into that role where he belongs.
You know, I can see that.
Well, my question to you guys is
that... He was my pick for that.
I wanted Fillion.
Fillion? Who's that?
Bradley Fillion.
John Buckner.
Nathan Cooper.
Should the studio still go with Hal Jordan, or do you think maybe they should just... Maybe do a Jon Stewart appearance.
Not if they're killing off Jon Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think what we all need to have a really interesting Green Lantern movie is Guy Gardner.
Yes.
You can have some really cool stuff with Guy Gardner on film. Who would play it? I don't know.
If they brought him.
But that could be pretty exciting.
And you can get, like, a tie-in, like, promotional tie-in with Monogram for the fridge.
Don't you mean for Kyle Rayner?
Oh, I hate Kyle Rayner.
It's Kyle Rayner's girlfriend that was in the fridge.
So if they put,
how do you mix up Guy Gardner, the angry ginger?
I hate Green Lantern.
The angry ginger versus the teeny bopper artist. Come on, really?
All Green Lanterns. I'm sorry. All
right, so if you put Gardner in the Justice League movie, then that would be a great confrontation with Batman.
Not just Batman, with everybody, right? Like he's that opinionated jerk. Who's the big loudmouth? You know, he would
Oh, you're going to take away Booster Gold and Flash's reason for being there?
No, but you would have really good interactions between Flash and Guy Gardner, and Guy Gardner and Batman, and, you know, Superman the do-gooder against the guy who's doing the good thing, just in a different way. much like Batman. So you'll have them agree when Superman maybe disagrees. I think you'd have a really interesting dynamic with Guy Gardner in the Justice League film.
All right. Something else I wanted to ask you guys about. Last time Don and John were here, we talked about the old What If show, What If series from Marvel.
Yeah.
Hunter, did you ever read What If?
I read a bunch of the What Ifs, yeah.
Great series. In fact, John mentioned that that's one of two Marvel series you'd want to bring back.
Yeah. What Marvel Comics Presents and What If.
What Ifs were just, like, really neat.
They were like, fun.
Oh, yeah. There was a bunch of them. Like, I'm trying to remember some of, like, my favorite. Well, there was like ones like "What if Peter Parker kept the symbiote?" And
I just loved it because you could go out of continuity and have a really cool story that didn't tie in with anything else. It was just a fun one-shot story. Done.
See, some of my favorite "What ifs" though were always like, "Okay, now I want the next issue." You ended on a certain note, and I'm like, "But I want to know what happens next. This is far more interesting than what's going on."
So what you need to do is start writing them.
I'd love to see a couple, like, two-three-part what-if stories, like, that let you...
Well, then that really brings me to my next point, because this week Marvel announced they're going to be doing a four-issue miniseries based on Avengers vs. X-Men, written by Jimmy Palmiotti, where the Avengers get the Phoenix Force instead of the X-Men.
Interesting.
Yeah. Thought that was cool.
And Palmiotti's writing it?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He's a nice man. We met him once. Name drop.
I love his work, and I love a lot of his indie work as well. Like his, Random Acts of Violence was a really cool book. It's just a lot of his kind of, I miss him being the inker on a lot of stuff because loved his inking, but his writing is really fun.
I'm pretty sure he inked the Kevin Smith Daredevil run as well.
With Quesada.
Quesada, yeah.
Yeah, the three of them did amazing work on that. Yes, Hunter, I'm agreeing that there was some awesome Marvel work out there.
Jimmy Palmiotti.
I'll agree that there are some good DC stories. So.
Good, we get along today.
It's because I'm here.
It's always a coin flip when we show up.
Yeah, you never quite know.
All right, and something that Hunter just brought up, and it ties into this story, Joshua Hale Filekov has confirmed he has left writing both Lantern titles he was scheduled to write in June, Green Lantern Corps and Red Lanterns. Editorial decisions about the direction of the book made him want to leave the book before he started writing it, and one of the facts was that there's a rumor that Jon Stewart was to be killed off. Writer wasn't happy with that. And wouldn't write that. DC is now denying that Jon Stewart was going to die.
Yeah.
What would you think about that?
No. DC came out and said, we have no current plans to off Jon Stewart, but they didn't say anything about whether or not that mandate had existed. They were very much in, like, cover-up mode. As in, oh, we found out how angry people would be when one of our two black characters were being killed off.
Also, it's sort of like when Dan Didio denied that they were going to kill off Nightwing in Infinite Crisis, although that was the plan all along.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're planning on doing or what's going to happen, but, like, Don, you also read the Green Lantern titles like I do.
Yep.
You like Jon Stewart, do you not?
He has his moments.
Yeah, I dig him. I like that he seems to be filled with more conflict than the rest of them, to me.
He's also the more militant of the group, clearly, because he's from the military.
Obviously, so. Because he's a Marine, but, like, could you see a reason for him needing to die?
Well, they were saying they didn't have any good stories for him. That was their
My concern would be that you would take a strong Lantern, a cool Lantern, who has been involved in some serious crap. Hmm. You know, it's great that, Mogo's back. You know, he's reformed, but the guy killed Mogo. He destroyed a whole other planet. He's the one who keeps getting in trouble for, like, the big, big decisions that have to be made that nobody else will make.
Well, this is the problem with having too many Green Lanterns.
Well, there's only five right now on Earth.
Yes. Oh, yes. And we made such a point of, humans, wow. No human had ever, like, been able to be a Green Lantern before you, Hal Jordan. Oh, I guess there's a bunch of you now. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I wouldn't want to see them kill Jon Stewart without a really serious, like, really strong reason.
Yeah. Well, you can tell they really have no direction to put him, because all they do is like, okay, here's Jon Stewart, have him blow up another planet. You know what I mean? That's all they keep him around for, you can tell. But since they introduced Simon Baz, it's sort of like they're replacing an ethnicity that was frowned upon at one point, and that's why they introduced him,
yeah,
to another one at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's like the idea that it's just like, oh, well, we already have somebody to tell our ethnic Green Lantern stories.
Yeah.
We don't need both.
Exactly. I think that's why they feel they have to replace him, but in the meantime, he's become a staple lantern.
Give him another ring. Have him go. Give him another ring collar and have him go around.
Just give him indigo. Why not give him another ring collar? Like, have everybody... Yeah.
Well, now you've got Kyle kind of rocking the white lantern and...
The everything lantern.
Yeah, everything else.
Well, because Gardner had been running around, or had, for a brief stint, been running the red and green, right?
That was just for one story, one part, yeah, and then he's still got some of that Red Lantern in him, some of that rage, because, he's a ginger.
Well, because they've already established, and hey, I get to show off my knowledge of your Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah,
They said where the Blue Lanterns don't function without a Green Lantern, right? It's because of the willpower.
They function, but they... Was it? They enhance the powers of the Green Lanterns.
Okay, so have Jon Stewart hop over to the Blue Lanterns for a bit.
Yeah, give him a more supporting role. If you're gonna kill him, give him an awesome death and then leave him dead.
Well, this is.
But if you're gonna keep him around, just move him somewhere else.
You've got like 7 different Lantern cores, but 5 of your main characters are all the green one. If you've got that many, like, Geoff Johns did a good job, and I think that's one of the great things he did with that, is introducing the different core, do something with them. Don't just have, like, we've still got a bunch of Green Lanterns, like, let's kind of forget about all the other ones. They're not useful in the galaxy at large. Like,
yeah, agreed. I would love to see more activity with the other Lanterns of the other colors and stuff like that, because through Brightest Day, having them all there was awesome, through Blackest Night and Brightest Day.
Well, show the reason that the cores are still worth having around in your universe. Like, okay, the Green Lantern are your, like, police force. Like, show me a reason, a good reason. There's got to be other stories to tell.
The only thing is,
right
now, in the current storyline where you've got the Guardians trying to destroy everything, you can't really have them flop one place or another, because they're trying to rip them all apart. When you get through the story and you start to bring them all back, then would be the time to do that. So maybe if you, I don't know, kill Jon Stewart now, okay, give him an awesome death, and if you have to bring him back shortly as a Black Lantern, because we've got the Black Hand in the story right now.
Yeah.
Have him come back as a Black Lantern, which would be really cool.
Yeah.
You know, you've got an angry...
Oh, sure. Make the African-American guy a Black Lantern. I see how it is.
Jon Stewart's a Black Lantern.
But, have him come back that way, and then put him somewhere like the Indigo Tribe.
Here's this. Have him retire. Have him be kicked out of the Green Lantern Corps for some reason.
Well, they just did that with Guy Gardner.
A couple months down the line, after you think the Guardians have eliminated all the other colors, now all of a sudden this mystery Blue Lantern shows up. Nobody knows who he is, because part of his costume is a full mask.
It's Peter Parker. Oh, wait, no.
It's the Hobgoblin.
Or at least
all of a sudden, the Guardians of Oa think that they've eliminated the other Guardian colors. Oh, shit. Now there's this random Blue Lantern, random whatever lantern running around. We have no idea who it is. Have that be Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart, after he got kicked out of the Green Lantern Corps, decides to be the last light of hope to the Blue Lanterns.
That is a good idea. And, like, I may be one or two issues behind. I think I just read up to issue 16 in Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps. But you've got those other members of that race of the Guardians who were in that prison protecting the First Lantern.
Now they're just locked.
Let's say, coming up, they wipe out the existing Lanterns because, Gant's a douche and we need to get rid of them. Let's have these other guys take over as the new Guardians And yeah, bring in Jon Stewart as maybe this new mystery Indigo Lantern that's putting back together the cores.
So. I can easily see him as an Indigo Lantern. He already was an Indigo Lantern, Indigos are all about like the punishment. You know what I mean? Mm. And since he felt, he's all about the remorse of destroying two planets.
Yeah,
that could be like a penance or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I'm saying you don't have to kill him, fire him, like take away his lantern ring. Like I mean, like there's a lot of things you can do to somebody without killing them, and I think we've gone over this, where killing is just too easy.
It doesn't mean anything
as
anymore.
A way to just go, our issue is killing somebody. Like, it's far really more interesting to just go, we're going to
I think do the last time, else. To me anyway, the last time a character's death had any real impact was Barry Allen in Crisis on the Infinite Earths. Like, even Superman's death back in, 92, 93, around then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They overhyped that so much that it meant nothing. The only one, really, since Barry Allen that's mattered to me was Steve Rogers.
Yep.
That was pretty serious. That was a big deal. But, again, they cheapened it by bringing him back the way they did, right?
Yeah. And at least they were on the right track, because almost immediately after, they're like, no, great. Like, Captain America is a symbol. He's not just...
Yeah, and then
that
we had
guy
Bucky do awesome, right?
So. Which is, I think, one of the main differences you can show between Captain America and Superman. They're very much the same sort of personality to a point of, like, the Boy Scout, like, all America, all good, yeah. And having one be very much a, like, symbol that can pass on through people that believe in that ideal...
But yeah,
in a way that you can't have with Superman, right? Like, there's one Superman. You can take a different person as a Captain America, give him a slightly different power set. Like,
yeah, so really doing that, giving, you know, keeping that symbol of Jon Stewart there is, an Indigo Lantern, I think, is a good idea.
Yeah.
Cool. So don't kill Jon Stewart.
Don't kill him. Just
or
give
Stephen
him,
Colbert.
Give him a new purpose.
Right. We're going to take a break. Yeah.
I did get that joke, sir. Thank
oh, you. No, I got it, too, because I had seen on somebody's Twitter, Jon Stewart's dead? And I'm like, what? Because I hadn't seen any Daily Shows this week, and the last Daily Show they had posted was, like, a special clip show. And I'm like, oh, my God, did something happen to actual Jon Stewart? Nope, he has an H. Okay, we're fine.
All right, Jon Stewart's still alive, so we'll be right back after these words.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Hey, K2 here from We Got the Geek. Not only am I your favorite podcaster, but I'm also your Scentsy independent consultant. Scentsy offers a safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. We sell ceramic warmers that use a low wattage light bulb to warm our specially formulated wax cubes infused with fragrance. With over 80 scents available, I'm sure you'll find a few favorites. We also offer stuffed animals that have a scent pack included, broom sprays, travel tins for your car or locker, and our new Layers line of fragrance that lets you build a new fragrance wardrobe layer by layer, from your skin to your clothes. Contact me for a catalog, to smell some yummy samples, or to book a party. We're also hiring. Ask me about joining my team. Email me at kstew.wickless@me.com or on my website, kstew.sensi.ca.
All right, we're back. We're sitting here with the greatest comic book panel ever assembled. Hunter, Balmer, and Don.
Woo! And me!
K-Stew.
You wouldn't know it, though.
Like Wonder Woman, you're here because you're the girl.
Now, I will say, K-Stew did some reading. She's our Black Widow. K-Stew did some reading this
powers,
week.
No real powers. She's just here.
She's just there.
You did some reading this week, but we're actually going to record our own comic book segment tomorrow. Just you and me.
Because I don't think the boys want to talk about Archie meets Glee.
I would sit in on that conversation.
I would, but I really have things to do.
You've
like,
read that, haven't
nothing.
You, Don? No, is that the one comic you didn't read?
You read it, didn't you?
No. Okay, I saw it existed. Does that count as reading?
Who was the gay guy in the Archie comics?
Kevin Keller. Why do I know that?
All I can picture is just like...
Jughead.
Hi. Jughead. Hi, I'm Kurt. I'm gay. Oh my God, I'm Kevin. I'm gay. Wow, we have so much in common. Let's sing about it. That's it.
All
right.
Sing about burgers.
Anyways, I don't want to spoil it for people that want to listen to the next episode.
Let's read some reviews in a minute, but I got a quick top 10 list. which I found fascinating, so I wanted to share with you guys.
Alrighty.
From the fine folks at Newsarama.com.
Do we get to take our guess at what the top 10 is going to be again this time?
I love the top 10.
I don't know, but this is the top 10 characters that didn't debut in comics, but they are in comics now.
Okay, Batgirl, Harley Quinn. Somebody's phone going off.
That'd be mine. It's just vibrating.
God, I'm trying to think of other people that debuted in not a comic.
Hunter's on the right track.
I'd say Terry McGinnis, because he's now in some of the comics.
Yeah, he started in the cartoon, didn't he?
He started in Batman Beyond, but then he went on to the actual...
Yep.
Boy Meets World.
Mercy. Lex Luthor's assistant started in an animated series.
Hunter's always good at these, by the way.
Okay. No, all right. So hit me with this list.
All right. Number 10 is Phil Coulson. From,
He
just recently started appearing in the comics in the Battlestars series, Battle Scars. I never read that.
What
did you read
Phil?
That?
His name is Agent.
Agent.
Why is his name Agent? Yeah.
Agent.
Number 9 is
Principal.
Principal. Principal. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
I know that one.
She hasn't seen that yet. Number 9 is the 60s Batman characters. King Tut and Chief O'Hara. Batgirl was created with the show in mind, but appeared a couple of months before her actual TV appearance.
Okay, technicality.
King Tut didn't appear in a Batman comic until 2009 in Batman Confidential.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Number 8, Firestar from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Okay, girl, Human Torch. Right.
Yeah.
Now she's in the Young Avengers, I guess.
Well, because I think that was it, was they weren't allowed to use the Human Torch in that cartoon. And that was the thing, it was Spider-Man and the Human Torch are always like buddy-buddy in the comics and the team-ups. But going into the cartoon, they couldn't use the Human Torch.
You are correct.
And they needed to create a replacement for him.
Yeah, that is true. Number 7, they have Bebop and Rocksteady from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep. Those characters were awesome.
They were boss. Love them.
Yep.
Number 6.
Working for Uncle Phil.
Number 6 is one Hunter got. Mercy Graves, Luther's bodyguard from the Superman animated series. First appearance was actually in the No Man's Land, the Batman series.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Morph from the X-Men.
Really?
Yep.
The very first X-Men episode. And then one
and then
episodes
a couple
of episodes.
Yeah.
Wasn't he from Orph?
No. No, silly. Number 4, they have Renee Montoya, who was also the Question in 52 in her own series.
Yep. She was also one of, Gordon's task force.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so where did she come from?
Batman the Animated Series.
She was just a cop. It was her and Harvey Bullock.
Yep.
She was street-talking girl to his donut-eating fat slob of a cop.
Soon to be a movie with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
You're funny.
Okay.
Number 3, X-23 from X-Men Evolution. She was the female clone of Wolverine.
Right, because that storyline, they directly translated over to the comics, 6 to 8 months later or something like that.
Yeah,
it wasn't long. It was pretty quick.
Number 2 blew my mind, and it's fitting that Hunter is here tonight. Jimmy Olsen debuted in 1940, the Superman radio show.
Wow.
Yep. And number 1, Harley Quinn, Batman animated series, and so forth.
Yeah.
I actually thought she was in the comics, and I just hadn't seen her. I thought she was from an older story.
No.
And now you're definitely one of the most popular Bat villains.
Yeah,
Unfortunately.
I think she's so overdone, overused, and I like her origin. I like the idea that Joker just, flipped somebody that was trying to psychoanalyze him.
Yeah.
But it's just, she's too one note. I don't find any depth to her character. I just see her as a lamer female Joker half the time.
What's she like in the New 52, Don? Because I haven't read any of her new stories.
A little bit more balanced. They tweaked her so that she has Harley Quinzel's mannerisms and stuff back again after she got attacked. But aside from that, she's pretty much the same. Different costume. crazy as hell, though. A lot more crazy than she was.
Yeah, well, she's been on the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and they've tweeted a lot about her in that.
Yeah.
A lot.
They redid her origin not too long ago. Yes. Like, well, they retold it, but it was the same. She was a psychologist for the Joker, and he turned her.
But he actually, her skin is actually white now, like the Joker's.
Yeah.
Instead of being
white. Yes, because she takes a dunk in the same chemical bath that he did in the new Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they retold that as part of the death of the family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Storyline.
I haven't read all that yet. That's next.
Now,
spoiler alerts.
Spoiler alert, Harley Quinn is...
Now, speaking of reading, I want to get some reviews from you guys. And I want to start with John, because this week he rolled up his pant sleeves and waded through the pile of knee-deep comics in his room.
Yeah.
And you read quite a bit, I heard today, sir.
Yeah, I read issues 12 to 16 plus the annual of Green Lantern, just to get caught up on the whole Rise of the Third Army story.
So you finally got into the Simon Baz issues then?
Yeah, I actually got to see where Simon Baz came from and what was going on with that, because I read Green Lantern Corps last week.
Yeah.
And got caught up on that, was wondering where this Third Army came from and who this new Lantern was. So I read all that just to get caught up with what was going on, just to see the Talking Squirrel and... You know, find out what was all going on. And
hi, I'm Badge.
I'm Badge.
I'm having flashbacks to Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Hi, I'm Badge. What do you say,
Mr. Banjo?
But it was good. I enjoyed reading it. It was more important just that I got caught up and understood where this character was coming from. And this new Lantern seems interesting.
Yeah.
I love that he wants to carry a gun because, well, his ring has already run out once. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this in that one.
Kind of smart, actually.
But yeah, he seems like he's going to be an interesting Lantern, see where he goes. I liked being able to get caught up on that. And then I just thought, well, that was only like 5 or 6 issues that I read, and it was really just to get caught up on something we've already talked about. So I grabbed a stack of issues 1 to 7 of Conan the Barbarian, because I've been reading a lot of Conan titles. Up until I got really busy. So I was reading Conan, Road to Kings, and King Conan, a lot of stuff written by, like, Roy Thomas and stuff. Amazing stuff. It, you know, I love Conan as it is, but then you put Roy Thomas in front of that title, and you're only going to get magic out of that. But this this series, Conan the Barbarian, it's drawn by Becky Cloonan. She steps out for a few issues, and there's another artist who comes in who was just awesome for the title. It seems that Conan is a bit younger in this run. He's not as big and muscle-bound as we know him to be in a lot of the other titles. It seems like he's only actually been away from the Northlands and Samaria for a few years, and he's just really kind of getting started. You know, he's still badass, still tough, still causing a lot of trouble, but he's not as old, not as built as he was, so he's still kind of learning some things as he's going along. He hasn't really established himself. His reputation isn't really there yet. So it's pretty interesting. I like it. I like the way it's drawn. I like how they're keeping it kind of darker. Really good tones with the coloring on it to kind of keep that mood of that whole world, which is always dark anyways. But I don't know, something I like about the Conan titles is that they're not just a quick action book. There's so much dialogue and narration and stuff that goes on in all these titles. I will sit there and I'll read any Conan title before I'll read 5 others of any other book. They're that good, they're that deep, there's always something going. You can just kind of reach in and pull different parts out of those books, and it can go off in a whole other story. So I just was glued right to that. I read those 7 issues this afternoon, straight through nonstop, and I had to work to get through the 4 or 5 issues of Green Lantern that I read, and I love Green Lantern, but I just couldn't put down the Conan. So yeah. It was really good. I'm glad I got caught up with those, and now I just got to get the, 2 or 3 issues I'm missing of that so far and see where it's going now.
Cool. Glad to see you reading again, man.
Yeah. The pile's slowly getting smaller. But it's nice. Like, in that 7 issues, there was, 3 different story arcs, and they were all great.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's got this new chick that's a pirate, and she's just fallen madly in love with him, and they're sailing together, but she's still kind of the boss, and yeah, they're really going on. It's an adventure title, and that's what I like about Conan comics, is that you're still getting adventure, which is what a lot of comics, superhero comics, you don't get as much of anymore. Not like when we were younger. The adventure's not quite there. There's too much politics going on and stuff. Conan is just, you know, killing people and causing trouble and laughing and, you know, treasure and girls and drinking. And it's just a fun book, but it's deep enough to stay interested in. You read any of that, Don?
Off and on.
Off and on?
Yeah. Now, with my new job, I have to sleep a lot.
Oh.
So now I only get the main DC, Marvel, and Image. But I only pick through the Image. I try to keep up on the DC Marvels, though, because they've got me like herpes.
Yeah.
Not going away.
Not going away.
Wow. And with that image in my mind...
you love it.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek comic book needs.
All right, we are back, sitting here with our own version of the comic book men, Hunter, Balmer, Don, and our comic book lady, Case 2.
Meanwhile at the Legion of Doom.
So, if you've listened to any of the other comic book panels that Hunter's been on, you know this is coming. Dude, Superior Spider-Man, issue 6.
Oh my god! Okay, so yeah, we're going off the deep end a little bit now.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
And apparently people are actually starting to notice.
Including his Avengers teammates.
Yeah. Though I did appreciate that Avengers scene where Wolverine was willing to go, like, look, we've all, like, and he uses the term, like, we've all done our fair share of avenging.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we're just going to start holding Spider-Man to a different, like, set of rules. Let's see where this goes. Oh, he beat up some kids that have a web show. Oh. Yeah, okay, let's bring him in.
Oh, not just beat them up, but...
Oh, like...
He destroyed them.
He destroyed them. To be fair, I'd have done it too. God, I hate those characters.
So you've been reading it as well?
Yeah. Oh, I've been reading it too. Although those characters give me flashbacks to high school too, so I would have beat them three.
I love the little nod to the fact that it's like, yeah, Peter Parker as Spider-Man was a bit of a bully himself. Like, yeah. He just took being bullied and turned it into bullying.
Yeah.
And it was a nice sort of like, oh, you always web up my mouth or web me to my chair. Or my glasses. You're right! I did do that! Alright, I'm on board! Like...
And then you get to see, like, he's trying to get a way out by exploring Octopus's memories.
Yeah. Well, it looks like he doesn't have any control.
At that point,
it looks like a bunch of times he's just sort of, like, been forced into flashbacks, into Octavius's memories. So he has no...
Well, from what he says, it's because he was starting to flip out is why he was he was exploring, but he got sucked into those because Octavius was losing control. Like, yeah. He was starting to get angry.
Yeah,
because
he is trying... He was saying he's trying to explore to try and find a way to take... his body back, like become the dominant personality again. So, yeah, I don't know. I still like what, like, Spider Octopus is doing.
Yeah. But, I like the innovation that he's doing, like, with the spider bots.
It's Spider-Puss.
Spider-Puss.
Octoman.
Nice.
Nobody's gonna say
Octopussy? Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see AVSM next week.
Yes.
Avengers versus Spider-Man.
Thank you.
Because they had just had AVX, which was the Avengers versus X-Men.
I had audio, visual, and then different letters.
And then he threw the bullies that were picking on his little friend into the back of their trunk.
And flipped the trunk.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
It was awesome, but at the same time, like... I mean, she had said, like, hey, I've been dealing with this all the time. And, I mean, I think he's letting the power get to his head a little bit, too. Because he has more power than he did as yeah. Octavius. Like, it's quite clear.
He had four strong arms. Now he just has everything at his disposal.
Oh, yeah.
Although, to his credit, he got hit in the balls pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
I was just looking at that page. I'm like... Yeah.
That would make me mad, too, I think.
The sound effect, patoing. Really? Like, everybody's laughing at him?
But it's a lot of people are starting to notice. And it's shit, like, you get the shots of the random people watching the web stream... And like, where's the one-liner, Spidey? Like,
when's he going to be funny?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Which I'm fine. I'm fine with Spider-Man, like, taking things seriously. Because I like this new direction. But, yeah, it's... People are definitely starting to notice that he's acting differently.
Yeah. Especially Mary Jane noticed the first as well.
Well, and his old roommate.
And his old roommate, too.
Which we haven't seen... anything else from her since he dropped the vulture onto the Spider-Man signal.
That's right.
That's true.
Because she ended that issue with, you're definitely not him, and we haven't seen her in three issues.
Yeah.
So.
I can see where this is going.
Well, the next issue is going to be the Age of Ultron.
Yeah, tie-in. The Age of Ultron's, or Spider-Man AU.
Yeah. Six. Yeah.
Which is funny because AU is an acronym for alternate universe, so I'm not. I'm still not sure what the heck they're doing with it because the cover of it looks like it's the Doc Ock Spider-Man in this universe, but it's Peter Parker in the Age of Ultron storyline.
His personality is even too. Like, he even has one liners after.
Oh, yeah, no, it's right? Definitely so Parker's personality. So it makes you wonder if something happens in this storyline that, like, kicks Octavius' personality to the side temporarily. Like,
either that or if Age of Ultron takes place after
the events of, because they've been very nonspecific about when it's happening.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting because in the Avenging Spider-Man, they make note of, like, something Spider-Man does is like a cluster F. And he does something bad, but it has nothing to do with time travel, so they couldn't interfere. So it makes me wonder if Superior Spider-Man, as Octavius, is going to team up with Ultron to cause the Age of Ultron, and that's why that's that event.
I can see that. Because, well, right now he's obviously collecting the Sinister Six for something.
Yeah.
So if this first thing he does doesn't work out, he could probably go to Ultron for someone more powerful, you know what I mean? So that's that could be very easily done.
So I could see that, and then just having Ultron betray him and go, okay, I'm plucking your personality out of Spider-Man's body, and we're just going to toss Spider-Man away. Oh, like,
yeah.
Or Spider-Man manages to break out, as a dramatic irony, like, I'm going to rip your brain out and put you in a computer just like when you were master programmer.
Oh, yeah.
And they think the Spider-Man body's useless, but it gives Peter that opportunity to get the body back. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Isn't this why we put these two together in this room?
Oh, yeah.
But it's clearly there's something is going to happen that Peter's back, but yeah, I hope it's not too soon.
No, yeah, me neither. Like, this has got to be a lot more fleshed out.
I've been enjoying this series, man, so I hope it's
first issue, I hated. I was like, are you kidding me? Blah. And then I'm getting into it. I'm like, it's kind of okay, I guess. And then now I'm like, okay, this is good.
I just hope if they bring Peter back, there's a lot of, like, I don't like Dr. Octopus, but he was doing a lot of things right. And I hope he keeps doing some of the stuff that Octopus was doing.
Oh, exactly. Like, the spider bots and the
spider bots, even just like the personal life stuff. Like, I hope Octavius was at least able to show him, like, hey, stop being a tool. You can still go spend time with your aunt and be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, because that's always been the conflict. Oh, I can't be Spider-Man and me at the same time. My personal life always suffers.
Yeah.
No, it suffers because you choose it to suffer every time. You have that choice.
Octavius even went and got the PhD for Parker, too.
Well, yeah, he's in the process of it, but he walked out on the thesis meeting. He did something very Parker, which is, oh, Spider-Man's needed, I'm going to leave. Yeah. So.
You want to talk to Don the Schnoz?
Don Schnoz Lamaze.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, Lamaze.
Not
yes.
You.
I'm like, my nose isn't that big.
Yeah, no, so.
I'm with the one with the giant beak here. Come on.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see if he manages to finish that doctorate, either Octavius or Parker.
Yeah.
Because I think that'll be an interesting bit is if, like, imagine Octavius has finished the thesis and you have to do a thesis presentation before you're awarded your doctorate. Well, imagine Octavius finishes the thesis, but before he can deliver the presentation, Parker gets the brain bag. Oh, and now Parker has to try and deliver the thesis presentation to earn his doctorate, trying to learn what...
Or if Peter's just being a dick and doesn't award it to Octopus, but then Peter Parker actually gets it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a couple things that I think you can set up, and I like the direction it's going.
All right.
I have to look at the Avenging Spider-Man number 18, I think it is. It's its team up with Thor.
Thor, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Because I've seen one panel from that, which is just Thor's head back like, you think Spider-Man is the star of this comic? No, that's Thunder and Lightning. That's what I've named my biceps. Like, oh,
Jean-Claude
Thor.
Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme, right there.
That's Thor.
No.
What were you going to say, John?
I was just thinking, like, I definitely obviously have to read this title to get caught up, so I'm going to borrow yours, because I think...
I got them ready for you to go upstairs, actually.
I want to get caught up on this, because every time I flip through them, you know, obviously, it looks great.
Yeah, the art is fantastic on it, too.
You guys have really talked it up, and I want to know more about what's going on, but I can't help but think, just hearing the way you guys are predicting what could happen, or where it could go, or where you'd like it to go, like... Let's send a couple of these episodes with you guys chattering over to the people at Marvel and get you some jobs.
No, I think the funnier thing is going to be to look back on these episodes after it's all wrapped up to see where we went. And I think that's why I've been so, like, excited about this, is because the first time with a Spider-Man comic, you're like, I don't know where they're going with it. Here's all the things they could do. Whereas before, it's like, yeah,
it's always predictable.
Spider-Man's going to have this happen, and he's going to get a job, and Spider-Man's going to cause Peter Parker to lose that job, and he's going to get a girlfriend, and she's going to find out he's Spider-Man, and, like...
I gave up on reading Spider-Man, because I read Amazing Spider-Man for years, and I loved it, but I had to give up on it, because it was just the same crap recycled, and every couple of years, it would be starting over from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, from what you guys are talking about here, they're not starting over from the beginning. They're adding a whole other chapter.
Well, and that's just it. It's something new that you can't just say, yes, I know where this is going to be in a couple months. And you get that excitement of going, oh my God, could it be this? Could it be this? Like, how... And getting to see this new interaction of an old character with things like the X-Men, with things like the Avengers. Like, I wish... It had been the actual Fantastic Four that he had teamed up with instead of just the kids in that one issue. Because I would have really liked to see him interact with, like, the Human Torch and the Thing. Like,
With Reed, even.
Yeah, he's got a relationship with those, and all of a sudden, you've got characters that really know him, because they were some of the only people in the Marvel Universe he exposed his secret identity to.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they know him as a person, too. So I think that's a relationship that hasn't really come up in this new Superior Spider-Man that I'd like to see.
That would be pretty awesome. But the thing is, like, Fantastic Four are off dying in outer space. They have to figure out how to cure themselves, right? So that's probably not going to be for a while yet.
But, I mean, Spider-Man was part of the Future Foundation.
Yeah.
Let's see if friggin' adventure where he's called on to do a Future Foundation mission with them, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're definitely different. Like,
yeah. No, exactly. There's a lot more innovation to this to the Dr. Octopus Parker.
Yeah, he's very much more about inventions and gadgets now. Yeah. Like, and I think that's neat, because I think it's a direction that you can go with the character.
But the thing is, like, you can tell, even if Octopus is still trying to be a good guy, there's still very sinister motives. I don't want to say motives, but undertones, because that's just what he does.
He's going very anti-hero. He's like, I'm doing good, but I'm going to... do it my own way. Like, I don't care what's going to happen. Like, him fighting Massacre. He's I really don't care that that kid would have died.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just stop a bad guy. Like, it's...
Exactly. Whereas Peter Parker would have been like, okay, no, you got to take care of that kid as well.
Yeah.
But then also, well...
Yeah. And that's... I mean, it's refreshing, too, because you've had... Like, you have for so long, like, heroes that just hamstring themselves by going, like, I have to do all of the good.
Yeah.
I have to be all good all the time. And it's nice to have some characters that go, like, okay, look, you got to do dirty stuff sometimes to do good. And, I mean, Batman's done it. Wolverine's done it. Like... It's just interesting to see it from somebody who you take mostly as, like, a joking,
yeah,
like, everyman kind of character.
Exactly.
Well, I'm hooked. I'm going to read this, like, all tonight. How many episodes are there?
Six.
All right, yeah. I'll read it all tonight.
I just don't think you would have gotten as interesting a reaction if you had put, like, other people in anybody else's brain. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't think you get the same storyline if, like, you put Bullseye in Deadpool's body, or...
Bullseye in Daredevil's body?
Or, yeah, sorry, Daredevil's body. Or, like, I mean...
So what if maybe at some point you get Peter Parker and Doc Ock separated again, but maybe Doc Ock ends up as, like, in the symbiote with as Venom instead? What, like, how could that go? You've got
a couple. Well, that's the thing. You've got a couple other, like, anti-hero style Spider-Man kind of running around already. Because you've got Flash Thompson as Venom. You've got Kane running around as the Scarlet Spider. So, I mean, that's part of why I don't see this lasting forever. Because of all that. Actually, that's another interaction I'd love to see them do. I'd love to see Kane come back and interact with the Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah,
where's that story?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You haven't written it yet, sir.
There's a lot of, like, dynamics that you could really have. Like, I think Kane would be another way of having Peter's personality get back into his body. Like, Kane has all of his memories. You can just put them back in.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Or there could be two... Well, I don't want to say two Spider-Men, but... Two Peter Parkers as two different things. Like, Dr. Octopus looking like Peter Parker as a young person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Peter Parker Spider-Man, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know where they're going with Scarlet Spider. I've been reading it, but right now it seems to be cyclical. Like, it's going in a gigantic circle with the werewolves, and you know what I mean?
Heard so that. I haven't read it myself. I mean, Kane was fine for the clone saga. Yeah. It was the idea of, like, oh, yeah, I'm just the clone that... has the powers to the max kind of thing. Like, it's a form of the clone degeneration. That's fine. But in terms of, like, the actual just him kicking around the Marvel Universe, I don't know.
Grim Hunt was pretty cool, too.
Mm.
Like, when he actually got reborn, he had all the eyes in his head, the whole 10 yards.
Yeah.
He got reborn as Tarantula. But then he lost all that stuff and just became Peter Parker with a tattoo and...
Yeah, like, bad attitude.
Bad attitude. Shaved head.
Be like, what if Peter Parker had been a punk in high school?
What if Peter Parker was a bitch?
I mean, Flash Thompson as Venom has been doing some interesting storylines.
I like that one just because he doesn't have... He's not being able to keep control of it as much as he wants to, so it's like... It's so good, though.
God, I love this panel.
I love that these guys have such dedication to understanding these characters and these stories, because people like me who haven't followed it in so long are now getting a real serious dose of what's going on and what could potentially happen. Well,
and that's the funny thing about comics, too, is because they're so long going, these are characters that you've known for way longer than almost anything else in terms of an ongoing sense. I mean, for me alone... I've known and followed the Spider-Man character for, like, 20 years now. Like, there is no other fictional character that I know as well or have had so much of an emotional investment in for so long.
That's sweet.
Well, look at something like, okay, like, I really like Stargate, SG-1. But that's 10 years with the same characters, but it ends. Like, this is something that's still ongoing, so when things change, you're like...
Well, I think this is a change that was definitely needed. My concern is that we're going to go back to the goody-goody do-gooder. So, like you said, I really hope that they keep some of what they're doing now when they eventually turn it back. You know, it'd be nice to see some of that that darker aspect.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes out, what, next year?
Yes.
So he's back in that body before then.
Definitely.
Definitely.
So, yeah, at best, we've got, it's an issue, what, every, is it every 2 weeks right now?
So far it has been, yeah.
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 So, I mean, if that keeps up, you've got a year, like, I mean, you got maybe 24 more issues with this. That's on the, like, the generous side of things, because you probably got to bring him, Peter Parker, back before that to set up into what is probably going to be your movie tie-in storyline.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, what, your return of Rhino and...
Electro.
Electro.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a storyline that comes up with those guys sometime early next year.
That's the thing. Like, Electro was just in the Avenging Spider-Man with Thor.
Yeah, I haven't read that one yet, so I didn't see that one.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, but yeah, like he's in there, and and it's the whole Sinister Six thing. So if something breaks out with that, with him like souping them up or something like that, just to help him out or whatever, that could be a decent tie into the Jamie Foxx Electro. But hey,
is this the primary Spider title right now?
This is pretty much the Spider-Man title. It's this and Avenging Spider-Man, which is like the Marvel team up.
Yeah. So we went from having what, like six different Spider titles to now down to
two Peter Parker Spider titles.
This happened about 3 years ago, man.
I know.
Yeah, dude, like at the time, like
I just remember there was still a lot.
There was Spectacular Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man became Sensational Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Then you had Amazing Spider-Man, and then Peter Parker Spider-Man. Like, there was just Spider-Man, and then at the end of the Clone Saga, it was Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Yeah. I just remember at one point, I wanted to try and follow everything that was going on, and I had way too many Spider-Man titles. And
yeah, well, and that was the thing. Spider-Man was one of... This was back when comics were doing poorly. Spider-Man was still selling very well, despite it being a storyline that not a lot of people hated, or, like, not a lot of people liked.
Yeah.
And they came out and said, like, if this had been any title other than Spider-Man, it would have been canceled because of this storyline. But people were still buying it because it was Spider-Man.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there were a lot of Spider-Man titles coming out just because comics in general weren't doing so hot. Spider-Man was...
It was keeping Marvel afloat.
Yeah, Spider-Man was paying the bills.
He doesn't pay mine. I wish he did.
Stupid Spider-Man.
There's another interaction that hasn't come up with the new one. Norman Osborn in Spider-Man.
Oh, that'd be insane good to see.
So, I mean, you've got already,
you just see him light up right there. Like, that was somebody sparked
like
there.
Three matchups that you haven't really seen that would be very interesting to see the new Spider-Man interact with them. So I hope they don't lose this before they have a chance to explore some of these.
No, exactly. I haven't even thought of Norman Osborn since he broke out of the prison with those couple of guys.
Mm-hmm. Because I mean, Norman Osborn and Spider-Man have a lot of history. Like, take characters that have a lot of history with Spider-Man and do something with it. You've done that with Jameson.
Yeah.
Jameson now has like a wonderful. Like, relationship with Spider-Man. Exactly. It's been great to read.
No, exactly. Then now Norman's going to be taken completely off guard with this new attitude.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely egocentric.
Well, and that's the thing. We did see the Green Goblin show up at the end of issue 4.
Yep.
Right? And I'm glad Bulmer left the room so I could say that.
Yeah, exactly.
but we don't know who's in that costume.
That's true.
It could be any number of people because, I mean, we've still got Harry's alive and you've got Norman.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Ben Ulrich or whatever was running around as the Hobgoblin.
He still
is
the Hobgoblin because he was in this one.
Yeah, because he was paying off to continue to be the Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
So whoever's the Green Goblin, like, they're there, and I hope that's building to a nice meetup.
Exactly. Might be Roderick King.
Oh, jeez.
It's like, well, I can't be Hobgoblin anymore. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with it. It'll be interesting, I think.
Cool. Well, I hate to say this, but I think we're out of time. We've gone over an hour, and I don't want to end this because it's been great. But we'll have to all get together again someday. It was great that you guys were in the same room finally.
Yeah.
Imagine if Ryan would have been here, too.
Yeah, we would have had another voice to listen to these guys.
Hey, I'm fine with that. I love this job, man.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It was definitely smart putting these two together. Now we needed to get them talking about something else.
Oh, it's fine with me.
What's next? X-Men.
How do you feel about cake?
I enjoy cake.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing with cake later. I think there's a lot of potential for cake.
I like to see a crossover between two different types of cake.
Well, I mean, maybe cake and pie. Like, I mean, there's a lot of history there. I think you can do something very rich.
You know what they need? I think the one genre of marble needs a reboot, though.
But I mean, like, what kind of icing do you do? I mean, geez, so much history there. I mean,
I
grew up with chocolate icing, but I mean, a lot of kids these days with the movies.
Yep.
Yeah. They see vanilla.
They see vanilla. With their whipped icing.
Can't start with that. Like,
you've got the spinoffs of cupcakes just going in all new directions.
No, I don't want these Earth 2 desserts either. Like.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Hunter. Thanks, John. Thanks, Don. Thanks, lovely K-Stew. We'll see you next week. Always remember that we got the geek.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.